Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Happy Sunday, Tampa Bay. Thanks for joining us this week on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. And every week, I'm here with Mike Corrigan from Cross Country Mortgage and Joe Hassani from Prime Protection. And I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, filling in for Andrew Duncan. I usually don't have two co-hosts, so I feel like I'm maybe bouncing back and forth between you guys and learning something here.
It's certainly a full studio this morning, so we'll hopefully have a bunch of really, really good stuff to talk about. There's a lot going on.
Mike, I haven't been on with you for a while, and I feel like the obviously, as everybody knows, the interest rates are playing such a huge role in real estate right now, whether it's purchasing or refinancing or whatever. I kind of feel like, and I don't think I'm wrong, I feel like interest rates are really driving the entire conversation in real estate right now. Interest rates and prices, but I feel like they obviously coincide with each other. And, you know, the numbers for last week came out. They're always kind of lag a little bit for weekly numbers. And, you know, interest rates on average did go down a good bit last week as far as on average. And I know Thursday, Friday kind of saw like a big drop. Am I wrong in that? Or
No, you're absolutely right. So what happened is, and so if you look at the weekly reports, you're right. It's always from the week before. And mm-hmm. so if you look at the weekly mortgage applications that the Mortgage Bankers Association releases every week, it showed that there was a decline, you know, week over week. And so everyone's like, oh, no, the bad news and everything else. Well, it was from the previous week.
Right.
And so the CPI report, which is Consumer Price Index, which is the Federal Reserve's measure of inflation that everyone's talking about, that report came out Thursday, which was favorable. And then Friday was a federal holiday. It was Veterans Day. So the number of applications were way down. So they're reporting that the applications were down again. Well, the interest rates didn't drop until the end of last week.
Right. It was like Thursday, Friday, right?
Right. Yeah. So what we finally got last Thursday is a cooler than expected inflation number. So that the work that the Federal Reserve is actually doing is starting to take hold. And really what had happened is, you know, when they measure it, they do year over year, right? So they do every single month. So October of 21 was a really high number. So if you go all the way back a year. So this year, when they replaced October 2021, it was up 0.6, where this year it was up 0.3. So you replace that one with a lower number, it brings the overall number down. And we're starting to see inflation come down a little bit. It's starting to take hold. And what we're forecasting is over the course of the next 3 or 4 months, you're going to continue to start seeing that come down because the year-over-year comparables were much higher. In addition, the work that the Federal Reserve is doing by raising interest rates on the short term is starting to take hold. It's starting to come in. Well, it is. It just doesn't seem that way right now yet because it's taking time to filter through the system. You know, retail sales spending marks came out this week and they were good. They were better than expected. People are still out spending money and everything. But the reality is they're spending it on credit. Credit is at an all-time high. And so if you just think about the credit card you have at home, credit cards have limits. Right. So eventually that's got to stop because people are going to run into limits that are going to go in there and they're putting more on credit than they ever have before in history.
Right. And I saw that those numbers came out this week and consumer credit usage is up by a huge number, you know, to multi. I forget, maybe it was like 20-year highs.
Yeah,
or something.
So
like
it's way up. So, yeah, spending is still going on, but they're using it in credit, and that can't go on forever because they don't have, like you said, you have a limit on your credit card, so it's not going to last forever. So we do think that over the short to medium term, we should have some relative relief in mortgage rates over the next several months.
Yeah, and every time it seems like that there's a drop in mortgage rates, even a bit, you know, for, I mean, they actually dropped, I mean, I think it was like 0.75 average. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a half to three quarters of a point between, you know, Thursday, Friday, the bond market was closed because of Veterans Day. And a shout out to all the veterans that are out there. Appreciate your service. But yeah, they've gone down. Now they bounced back a little bit this mm-hmm. week and started to tick back up a little bit. There's been a lot of Fed speak saying, hey, not too quick, not too quick. to do so. But yeah, ultimately they went down about a half a point.
Yeah, and the good thing that we see, you know, from our side is even coming down a little bit, which it makes a huge difference. And we actually see people jump off the fence and kind of all of our activity goes up, showings seem to go up, contracts go up. So it's like the consumers are just waiting on some positive news and they jump off the fence and they get into the game. And that's really what we actually saw last weekend. We saw it was actually a really busy weekend for us.
Yeah. And we're seeing it too. And so what I think a lot of people is before there was like no end in sight, they just kept going up and up and up, you know, they were going up and it was people are like, when is this going to stop? And you know, everything else. And now we finally got a report that came out from a macroeconomic thing showing that, hey, maybe it is starting to work and maybe the cans are coming down. And you're going to see people jump off because, you know, there's deals to be had out there now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that better than I do on the real estate side. You know, you can negotiate again, right? You know, we were talking 6 months ago, you couldn't, as a buyer, you had no power whatsoever. And now it's back to more of a normalized negotiation process.
Yeah, right.
So I got a couple of questions on that. When I'm talking to mortgage brokers and homeowners insurance companies or providers, there's a few questions I've got. So one, the Fed says they're going to raise the rate another 75 basis points here shortly.
In December, yep.
But then I thought it was going to be two before the end of the year, like yet again.
Well, I think they meet once a month? And I think it's awesome that you're here because it's like you're coming as a consumer perspective and I get confused a little bit.
They generally meet every other month. They're meeting in the beginning part of December. I don't know the exact date offhand. So it'll be one more time before the end of the year.
And then when I'm talking to mortgage brokers, I mean, they seem to be down like 50%. And then when I'm talking to home builders and, you know, like the American Integrities of the world that do homeowners insurance, you know, everybody seems to be saying that they're going to be down like 30 to 50% from, I guess, the previous year. And just curious.
Well, it's so hard. I mean, so right off the bat, it's so hard because sometimes builders are looking at, you know, national numbers or even statewide numbers.
Right.
So you have stuff like other states are throwing them off. Statewide numbers, you have Southwest Florida that's throwing them off from all their storm damage, other parts of Florida that don't do as well as we're doing. I've heard locally the numbers are off more like 10% kind of industry-wide, and I could be wrong with that, but I know that our local numbers are much better than some of the national numbers you're probably hearing. And I don't know if you guys kind of are looking at that too, as far as the change, but you know, I know transactions are down, but it's not as bad as like national numbers would lead you to.
And you
got to
remember too, when they, it is national numbers when they're talking about it. So there's other places around the country that have gotten hit a lot harder than we have here in Florida or even more locally than Tampa Bay. But in addition, when they're talking about the mortgage numbers, it is a fact. I mean, refinancing is down 86% year over year. So, I mean, listen, I mean, rates are at 7%. You know, over 80% of the people have a rate under 4.5 right now. Yeah. So the reality is they're not refinancing it nearly as frequently. Now, there's still some opportunities out there to get cash out and people are doing it. So there is still a little bit of it, but it's down 86% year over year. So the purchase volume isn't down nearly as much. Mm-hmm. Now, is it still down? It is down, and it's down significantly, but not near the 50% mark. It's probably half of that.
Lenders get killed when the refinances go away. Yeah. I mean, it hurts because, I mean, that's so much. If you think about, I mean, people that had a 5 or 6% interest rates or even 4%, you know, and they saw rates at, you know, 2.5, they were like jumping on that and refinancing. And then that kills the business, you know, when that goes away. And that's tough. But I know that new builders, because you guys probably work a lot with new builders if you're doing smart home stuff. I mean, I know that they're down a lot, but they had risen their prices so much that it becomes so tough to combine that with higher interest rates that, you know, they're kind of like left with some inventory. So I would say, I mean, as a buyer, it's a great time to get, you know, some kind of negotiations from builders. I know that we're seeing that. We're seeing buyers able to get, you know, closing costs and design credits and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff from builders where before most builders would say, go take a hike. Now they're kind of saying, hey, we want to negotiate with you. We have inventory and we want to make it work for you. And I think that that's awesome.
Yeah, that is great. I am curious, and I'm curious on your thoughts, particularly, and also Mike's. So, you know, just from a consumer standpoint, it's, you've got these high cost, at least high to Floridians, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe not high to Californians or New Yorkers, but high in our opinion. The interest rates are going up. Unemployment's low, but there seems, you know, the tech sector starting to do layoffs, and I'm sure other sectors are going to start kind of following behind. You know, at what point do you think kind of it all comes to a head, right? Like, okay, home prices have to come down a bit, especially if interest rates are staying to what we believe to be a little bit high. People are going to start coming out of work, you know, getting out of work here. We're in a recession, whether the government's saying it or not. What are your thoughts on like when some of this comes to a head, or are we just kind of still thinking positive because we're in Florida?
I actually think coming to a head is going to be actually just kind of stabilizing and stalling out. You know, we are putting, you know, we might get five new listings in a week and we're putting five or six homes under contract. So, you know, it's kind of turning into one of those things where it's really stabilizing. It's totally different than it was in like 2007, 2008. I mean, there's so few distressed properties that are coming on the market. There's so few, I mean, there's like no short sales because people have so much equity. I mean, there's really no place for prices to go, because every time they try to dip a little bit or interest rates move a little bit, people jump in and they're negotiating and they're buying them. So, I mean, my personal opinion is you're not really going to have a drop. You might have a slight cooling or a slight drop, but it's really going to be people are just negotiating again, and then they're going off the market and they're going under contract. So I think it's more going to stall out as opposed to drop. Gotcha. Because the inventory is just still, even though we're talking about, oh, inventory is up 200%. Well, 200% from what, 15 days of inventory? I mean, balanced inventory is 6 months. So even to get back to a balanced market, we're only at like 2 to 3 months of inventory still. So it's still so low.
Gotcha.
So we can probably get Mike's has thoughts, and we're going to get to those thoughts right after this quick break here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. We're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, here with Mike Corrigan from Cross Country Mortgage and Joe Hassani from Prime Protection, who is playing the role of consumer right now with some of these questions. But Mike, we were talking before the break about, you know, maybe where does Joe had asked kind of where the market really peaks and what it does from there. So what are your thoughts on that? I already kind of gave
mine. I think it's a really, really good question. And I think it's two different answers depending on if you're looking from national numbers or you're looking locally. But so since we're on here in Tampa Bay, I'll talk locally and what's going on here now. Inventory is still relatively low. Like you said, it's not, you know, less than 1 month inventory. Now we're up to 2 or 3 months, which again, 6 months is considered a balanced market. So it still is a seller's market out there. Now, you may not have, you know, 42 people lined up at your open house and 13 offers the first 20 right. minutes on it's on the market anymore. You know, it's going to be a little bit longer in everything else. But there is still a tremendous demand for people and for housing that comes in here. And what we're starting to see and what we're talking to our clients about now, even with the interest rates higher, that certainly has had effect. It has effect on affordability on what's going in there. But you are able to, and there's so many memes and different things out there, but you are able to negotiate. So, you know, you may be able to get a little bit lower of a price on a house now that you couldn't before. You know, a lot of people were paying way over asking before. Now you can negotiate that down. There are things out there, products out there like the buy downs, where you can actually have the seller pay for you to buy down your interest rate up to 3%. So now you're not at 7, you're at 4, right, for the first year, 5 the second year, 6 the third year. So there are different products that the mortgage companies are coming out with that are making that in there. And the reality is, they can get that deal on the house. You can only buy your house once, right? For one price at one point in time. You can always refinance your mortgage. So what we're starting to see people in there like, hey, I can get a deal in here. And if I can afford the payment and qualify for it, I can always refinance down the road whenever those come down. Because what will happen is interest rates come back down because there isn't a ton of inventory, right? We don't have a ton of supply sitting out there. Soon as the interest rates start coming back down, people are going to jump off the fences in droves, and they're going to come out, and it's going to get extremely competitive again. And what might happen is you're going to have people lining up again, and there's going to be multiple offer situations, and then maybe you have to overpay for the house again. So while I don't see any sort of crash in sight, I think it's going to be slower growth. We're not going to get 20 or 30% appreciation. We don't want 20 or 30% appreciation. That is unsustainable over the long run, but it will come back down. And so I always equate it to, you know, we were probably driving 85 on the highway, right? Cruising along, going super fast. And now, you know, now maybe we're slowing down to 65 or 60, a more normalized speed.
I think that one of the main issues that does affect supply and demand, especially right now, is that even though the builders were building a lot again, they still were building nowhere near enough. I mean,
yes.
And that went on not just the past couple of years, but they haven't been building enough really since about, I mean, there was an oversupply in 07, 08, because they built way, way, way too much. But that got absorbed, I would say, probably by 2012.
Yep.
And they really haven't, they didn't build for those years. And then they have not built enough since then. And the product that they did build was primarily really expensive because they like their margins on it. It certainly isn't builder's fault, you know, but I would say that really contributes to the supply issue that we've had of all these people who maybe went through a foreclosure, went through a short sale, all these new, you know, housing families that were formed that were maybe sitting on the sidelines because they were scared of the recession and all this kind of stuff. And then they kind of all got back in the mix at the same time, plus all the people coming of age, plus all these people that are wanting to maybe buy a second home because maybe they did well over those past couple of years. So it was just all these factors came in and they all jumped in at the same time, and there just hasn't been enough supply to go around. And I know nationally they don't think that's going to get fixed. I think that, again, it's going to slow down, but it's really going to be more about like stabilizing.
Well, and one of the big things on that is that affects that is household formations, right?
Yeah.
So household formations are outpacing how fast new homes are coming on the market, and not just new builds, but you got to remember there's a small segment of the population, 600,000 homes or so every year that get destroyed, right? And then rebuilt. So that gets thrown in the new one, but the household formations. And so what is that? That is, you know, a couple getting married, it you know, creates a new household. It's a couple getting divorced, creates two new households. It's a kid, a millennial finally moving out of the parents' basement, you know, new children, you know, growing up, moving out, graduating college, buying their first home. So those household formations that are happening, there's more of those than the new builds being there. And so the demand is still going to be higher for the next several of years.
I always hear that kids, young adults, are just staying home longer, not being able to purchase homes at the age, I think, that maybe like when I did or that
well,
when you
they
did.
Are now. So there was, yeah, that was the thing for a while. There was the millennials wanted mm-hmm. to live in their parents' basement. And the narrative behind that was because millennials wanted experiences, not things, right? Like that was for a couple of years we were talking about that. So they stayed at home. They wanted to go do stuff and they'll just live in their parents'. Well, now they've gotten a little bit older, right? As time goes on, the millennials get a little bit older. And so now they're starting to push into their 30s and everything else.
And what's funny is they are now the largest segment of home buyers. And not only are they the largest segment of home buyers, but we thought as an industry that they wanted to live in condos and tiny homes and all this, you know, cute little stuff. Well, now all the surveys say not only do they want to buy, but they want to buy a large suburban home for their kids, for the good schools, for everything that everybody else wanted to buy in the generations before. And again, that's just what the surveys show. I think it's pretty interesting that
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We thought that for a long time. And then once it became affordable, which happened with interest rates, they jumped into the exact thing that everybody else wanted in the generations before when it was more affordable. So I want to get more into that. But we got to take a quick break here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us this week. We'll be back right after this quick break. We're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. When we're not on air, you can reach us on all of our socials. We're on the Duncan Duo team on Facebook, on, you know, Instagram, I mean, whatever socials there are out there this week. I promise you that we're there. You can reach us at our office at 813-359-8990 anytime. Mike, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can always reach me directly at 813-377-2743, again, or go to Cross Country Tampa, all one word, crosscountrytampa.com.
And then, Joe, I want to tell them how to get in touch with you, but I want you to explain to people what you do, because you're with Prime Protection. You guys have partnered with us for so many years. We always call you the ADT guy at the office, but you guys do so much more than that. It's kind of developed into a lot more than that. So tell consumers what you do out there and how you can help them.
Yeah, so I kind of branded myself as the ADT guy right to the realtors years back, and it's kind of stuck. So,
well, then it worked. Then.
It did, you know. We are an ADT dealer, but we also do CCTV installs, low voltage things for our own commercial properties or custom homes. But again, one of the misconceptions when you think of ADT, if I said ADT, what do you think of immediately?
Well, alarm system.
Yeah.
That's it.
But it's not just alarms anymore, right? So we lead the industry in smart home services. So it's doorbell cameras. It's door locks that you can control from your phone. It's garage door. It's your garage door bringing it up and down. Your thermostats. Arming, disarming the system right from your phone. Turning lights on and off. Telling, you know, having it turn on your TV. I mean, it's stupid what's happening right now and right. What we can do. But, you know, we are the leader in the nation with it, and we do have an extra layer of security that something you get from, let's say, an Amazon or a Ring, if they get into your Wi-Fi, they're in. With ADT, because there's a separate app and they put a firewall on there, it's an added layer of security. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's online, I'm sure you can get into it somehow, but ADT really does make things difficult. For hackers or people with malintentions to jump in. And a lot of times I need to explain that to people.
Right.
You know, and we're really a smart home company now, and you just get security with it.
Right.
You know,
right,
that's
right.
Kind of the difference.
So is it all tied to ADT, or is it like, because you mentioned thermostats and I'm thinking, well, what does that have to do with, you know, security? But so you guys do stuff separate from just security stuff.
Well, it's all part of ADT, meaning using the app to control everything and in kind of a one app experience, you get the security along with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll cover your doors, we'll do the motion detector, we'll do the glass break detectors, smoke detectors. But you can also do the smart home stuff where it's all on one app. You don't have 50 apps, one for your thermostat, one for your garage door, one for your front door, so on and so forth, and on a better secured network.
Right.
You know?
And this is me being a consumer to you because I don't know, but is this something that they would do primarily when they're doing a new build, or is this something that they can come in and do later, like during an upgrade to their home, or what do you guys usually typically do?
Great question. So everything's gone wireless. We can go hardwired or wireless, but everything's pretty much wireless now, so you can do it at any time. We work with a lot of new homeowners that have just purchased a new home, but we've also worked with a lot of homeowners that are just purchasing a home that's existed. I can't think of the name right this moment.
Well, like when I purchased my home, there was a security system there, but you know, my home's from 1976. I mean, this was probably the Cadillac of, you know, security systems back in 1976. I mean, it was old. So, you know, we had ADT come in and they did everything really wirelessly, but you know, I mean, even that was 8-9 years ago. So it's totally different than that.
Everything has changed quickly. And one of the things that we're finding a lot of synergy with, and I don't know if you guys have heard, but State Farm has purchased in conjunction with Google about a 15% stake in ADT, spending about $1.2 billion. So what we think, they haven't put this down the pipe yet, is the biggest losses for insurance companies are water, smoke and fire, and I want to say carbon, right? You know, carbon deaths or whatnot.
Right.
So I think that what it's going to look like, and I'm hoping to work with more and more insurance agents as well, is it's going to be part of a package where they get a much bigger discount if they're having these things happen. And one of the things I didn't mention is, like, we can put in a flood sensor. And if it detects a leak or something happens, there's a valve that will automatically turn off.
Wow.
Same thing with fire. Like if there's a fire and it detects it, you can automatically turn off your AC.
That's interesting. Well, I mean, because I'm just thinking right off the bat. I mean, you know, when we moved into our house, we had a new dishwasher installed. We didn't even do it. They did it. And about 3 days later, they did not install it correctly. And you know, my wife went over to the kitchen and there was about an inch of water in the kitchen. And if we would not have been home, I took one of my kids to the movies, and if she would have come with us, we would have come home to a completely flooded home. And I mean, it, you know, a flood sensor would have made all the difference.
Would have made a huge difference. I mean, think about it. They spent $1.2 billion in hopes of saving on paying on some of these claims. So you got to think the billions and billions they pay out for water, smoke, and carbon.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so that's something that somebody can come to you guys, come to you and say, hey, you know, I want this full package installed. And that's something that you guys can do.
100%. We do it all day, every day. Awesome. So, yes.
And the app's easy. Everything's good. Easy to go from the phone.
It's awesome. Google also purchased part of a percentage of ADT as well. So we're doing a lot of Google products, and we're going to be merging into like a Google/ADT app. A lot of cool things happening. ADT is really trying to be on the cutting edge of technology. Google leads that industry. Yeah,
well, they purchased Nest. I mean, years ago they purchased Nest. They have that all that integrated. So I'm sure they're going to be, you know, with a 15% stake. I mean, I'm sure their goal is to kind of merge it all into one brand eventually, perhaps, or at least have kind of a, you know, where it integrates into their products pretty easily. And I will say, you know, I use Google Home and Nest, and, you know, they've merged Nest into their products pretty well. So hopefully they can do the same with you guys, but it's pretty seamless.
They are. There's going to be like an ADT Plus app, which is a Google Plus app. It's coming sometime at the end of next year or so.
So as for people that are going and installing stuff, what's the most common thing they're installing now? I mean, my guess would be cameras.
Yeah, so doorbell cameras is probably number one, and then a camera above the driveway is number two. Door locks, I'd probably say, is number three. Thermostats, not quite as much. I don't know if people do it on their own, but those
like
three
the
things
easiest
right
thing
there.
To install on your own. Because if I would think security or I would think smart home, I feel like the thermostats are so easy that I almost don't consider that a smart home, even though it is, you know, even though it's from my app and I control it and everything, but it's so easy to do yourself. It's, you know, I wouldn't think that that would be part of it, but it obviously is. And it's, I mean, I love my smart thermostats, but smart locks, everything is awesome too.
No. And again, you know, back to the whole insurance thing and fire. I mean, in a fire, you don't want the AC blowing and just kind of, you know, fueling the flames there. Right. It's pretty neat that you can have everything talk to each other.
Yeah. So if they want to get in touch with you to talk about install, to get a quote, to have you guys come out, how would they do that?
So a couple different ways. You can call 800-214-7208. You can go to primeprotectionllc.com. Or you can call the office locally at 813-704-0493. Got a few different ways. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Yelp. I mean, we're on Google. Yeah, I mean, you can find us just about anywhere.
And they typically have to have you come out, look at the property, figure out where to go from there. I mean, I'm assuming it's something you can't do over the phone.
So, no, that's not necessarily true. At this point, especially COVID taught us how to ask the right questions. We can Zoom, but a lot of it is just asking the right questions. And a lot of it can be done over the phone, and then we just send the tech out to go do the install. And if anything needs to be added, they can add it at that time. But the old school of thought is you have to have somebody come and walk it with you. COVID just taught us that that is not actually true.
Right.
And our numbers actually went up during COVID rather than down. We thought it would be the other way because we were so used to being in-home, doing the in-home consultations, but the opposite happened. We were doing a lot over the phone. So
with everybody else.
Yeah. You know, you just kind of figured it out and it actually worked out in a lot of people's favor.
Right. That's awesome. Okay. So they can get in touch with you. You guys can do your thing over the phone and then hopefully that works out for everybody. But I would tell you as a resale, you know, the more smart home stuff, the better, I think, especially, you know, in the millennial generation, like we were talking about and younger, I mean, I think that's a huge selling feature. I know there's probably different stuff involved where the accounts go to different people, but I mean, if the technology's there, I mean, it's a huge selling point when you go to sell your home. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. So
thank you so much for saying that.
No problem. So again, we'll be back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. When we're not here, you can reach us on all of our socials, like I gave out earlier, the Duncan Duo team on all of our socials. And if you're looking to be an agent, because the market is so changed right now, I'll tell you, you know, we spent the last 2 weeks on the show talking about how different the market is for real estate agents. It's hard to go out there and do stuff on your own right now. I think to be with a team really makes a huge difference with marketing, with training, with all of those different things. We would love to talk to you about that, get your career started. Jointheduo.com. We've completely revamped our hiring process. We've completely revamped our training process for new agents. And what we have now is really awesome. We'd love to talk to you about that and see if you're a great fit for our company. Jointheduo.com. You can go right there. We'd love to speak with you about that. And we'll be right back right after this quick break here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. We're back here on the Duncan Duo Real Estate Show. Thanks for sticking with us this week on our last segment here. I'm Robert Johnson, president of the Duncan Duo, here with Mike Corrigan from Cross Country Mortgage and Joe Hassani from Prime Protection. We were talking during the break about an article that we saw here, 20 top housing markets for October of 2022. And there is something that all of them have in common. They're all the most affordable right now and the hottest housing markets. And we'll go through the top 10 here. Number 10, Dayton, Ohio. Number 9, Worcester, Massachusetts. Number 8, Topeka, Kansas. Number 7, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Number 6, Hartford, Connecticut. Number 5, Columbus, Ohio. Number 4, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Number 3, Burlington, Vermont. Number 2, Rochester, New York, and number 1, Manchester, New Hampshire. So what do all of those places have in common? The article says that they're all affordable and they're all cold. So
yes, they're all going to be, and they're going to be really cold over the next several months, for sure. So
right. Those are real hot housing markets going into fall when they're probably at their most beautiful, but I would love to see those January numbers on those hot affordable housing markets, because that is cold weather. And it also looks like a lot of them have, you know, there's still about a month is their average median days on market. It's about the same as here. But, you know, a lot of those places, some places in the Midwest, some places in the Northeast, you know, they had a run up in real estate prices, but certainly not percentage wise like we have had down here. So, you know, anything where the percentages are still up a lot, it looks like it's such a great market. But really, statistic-wise, you know, you can change the numbers however you want. but yeah, they're all cold markets. And I would say the biggest difference is they didn't have those huge run-ups like we saw. But number one, Manchester, New Hampshire. You know, I've read about New Hampshire that a lot of people from Massachusetts and Boston have, you know, started moving there, or it's kind of picked up, especially because they have new transit that goes there. It's more connected than it used to be. So I think you've seen New Hampshire change a lot. And I did find it interesting that that's number one. So even though doesn't tie to us directly here, I would say it does, because eventually they get tired of being in that cold and they come down here.
Well, yeah. And there might be a lot of them listening, you know, now that are here for the holidays, right? It's starting to come down. The snowbirds are starting to come. You know, I've been noted, you know, I live out towards the beach in Madeira Beach, and it's starting to see traffic pick up and the restaurants be a little bit fuller. So welcome back, Northerners, right? We're glad to have you. And,
I will
keep
tell
coming.
You, especially the Canadians.
Yes.
I was driving down 95 about a week ago from, oh gosh, I think I was coming back from North Carolina, and the amount of Canadian SUVs, cars, car carriers, RVs, and of course they come down every year, but I don't think I've ever been there in October or November when the great migration is happening. I mean, I kid you not, it was probably a quarter of all cars had a Canadian license plate, and I think they're all coming down at the same time. But I think that's also great for our housing market, because, you know, last year, yes, the border was open, but it still wasn't quite back to normal. This year, it's much more normal. I know on the Canadian side, they've dropped all their border restrictions. The American side is still a little iffy. But they're back in droves, and I think that's great for our housing market, because in the winter, you know, a lot of them are down here. They're enjoying their homes. They may decide to purchase a new home or another home. Or at the end of winter, they decide they're ready to sell their home. And they've spent the winter kind of getting it prepared. And then we kind of see an uptick towards the end. So I think that that's great for our local housing market. And I think that it kind of gets it a little more back to normal with the Canadian influence. But I told everybody, please, you know, make sure you understand FRPTA, because those are special taxes.
Sure, right, yes.
When you first get into real estate, you're like, what is this? But then you realize it's taxes for people that are foreign and selling real estate here. So, but I think that'll definitely help get it back to normal. And well, this is like throwing you right at the end, Mike, but they just have to buy to get a mortgage if you're Canadian. You just have to have American credit and obviously qualify and all that, but it's, you know, they're not open to all of our programs per se, but they can still purchase.
Right. They can still purchase. There's different programs out there that can allow them to purchase. And really anybody from any foreign country, it kind of just depends what their situation is. Do they have American credit, or do we have to do what's called a foreign national product, mm-hmm. which basically you don't have to provide income, but you got to put a very large down payment down, which a lot of them have, right?
Right.
I mean, the housing market in Canada is crazy expensive.
Crazy.
It's crazy expensive. You think it's bad here. I mean, in Canada. But yeah, they can qualify. They can get a loan here, can buy a second home and be able to do so. If they do, a lot of them, right, especially that live along, because most of the people that come are coming from right along the border, right?
Yeah, Ontario, especially that sort of Montreal.
And a lot of them, you know, claim U.S. income, file U.S. income mm-hmm. taxes and everything else. And then they can do a conventional type loan. But yes, they definitely can get financing. So reach out to us if you have any questions about
that. Awesome. And how do they get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 813-377-2743. Again, 813-377-2743 or crosscountrytampa.com.
Awesome. And it was great having you this week, Tampa Bay. We appreciate you joining us every week.
And happy Thanksgiving,
yes,
right?
Happy Thanksgiving coming up. We definitely, I'm ready to eat.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us this week, and we'll be back next week. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.